Scientists and science fiction writers alike have been inspired, enamored, curious about time travel. And especially since the advent of Einstein's theory of relativity, scientists have theorized that at least in principle, time travel is possible. In fact, recently at Stephen Hawking's memorial service, the family, according to Reuters News Service, invited time travelers to attend. In order to attend the service held at Westminster Abbey in London, you needed to register online, and a drop-down menu indicating your date of birth listed dates in the far future. And so they were purposefully inviting time travelers to come and to be a part of Stephen Hawking's memorial service, if indeed that was possible. They thought, well, let's just throw it out there, because that was a curiosity of Stephen Hawking's. Well, wouldn't it be amazing to travel back in time and witness the epic events in history as recorded in the Bible? To experience those events right along with Abraham, Moses, and even Gideon. Well, that's what we're going to do this week at Time Lab Vacation Bible School. And we're going to discover that no matter where we travel in time, and even before time, past, present, and future, there is one person who will always be there: Jesus. There is one person who will always be there: Jesus. In Hebrews 13:8, we read, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Well, let's turn to Scripture this morning and discover what is always true of Jesus. What is always true of Jesus? And if you have your outline that you received in your bulletin, please take that out. I think it'll be easy to follow along here, because we have five statements about what's always true for Jesus. First, that Jesus has always been and always will be with us. Jesus has always been and he always will be with us. And Jesus said to his disciples, I am with you always. I am with you always. The fact is that Jesus did not have a beginning. His life, his existence didn't start as a babe in Bethlehem. He always existed from eternity past with God the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, from all eternity past to all eternity future. It says that in John chapter 1, verses 1 to 3, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning, and through him all things were made. Without him, nothing was made that has been made. Jesus is that Word. He is the living Word of God, who always has been, who has always existed as God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Jesus is the wisdom and power of God, through whom God created the world. We are told in 1 Corinthians 1, verse 24, that Jesus is the wisdom and the power of God, and through that wisdom and power, through his word, speaking that word, let there be light, and there was light. God spoke and it came to be. And it was through Jesus Christ. So Jesus has always been there, co-creator with the Father. It says that in Colossians chapter 1, which Pastor Nate read this morning. Verses 15 to 17, it says, he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by him all things were created in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. All things were created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. Jesus has always been, and he will always be with us. He's always been there, and he always will be there for us. Jesus said, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Well, what happens at the end of the age? Well, he promises to be with us then too. It says, then we who are alive when Christ comes again, we who are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, so we will always be with the Lord. Right now, he's always with us. Come eternity, we will always be with him. To all who believe and trust in him, who are looking forward to his coming, putting their confidence not in ourselves and our works, but confidence in Jesus Christ and his work accomplished on the cross for us. So never fear. This Jesus always has been and always will be there for us. Secondly, that Jesus has always been and he always will be a promise keeper. He's always been and he always will be a promise keeper. From the Old Testament times to eternity to come, Jesus will keep his promises. In Luke chapter 24, verses 44 to 46, it says, Jesus said to his disciples, these are my words which I spoke while I was still with you. Jesus is now speaking after his resurrection. And he said, I told you these things before. You weren't really paying attention. That's not in there. That's my addition. But they weren't. These are my words, that everything written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled. Now, the law of Moses, that's the first five books of the Bible, the Pentateuch. And the prophets, that's all the way up to the books of poetry and the Psalms, the songs of Jesus, the songbook of the Hebrew people. He says, it's all there. They all bear witness. And Jesus told them, and the religious leaders in John chapter 5, he says, you search the scriptures because in them you think you have eternal life, but these bear witness to me. Jesus is on every page of the scriptures, and there are hundreds of prophecies that Jesus fulfilled. He is the one whom every promise that God makes has its fulfillment. Jesus has always been and always will be a promise keeper. Listen to what it says in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 20, one of my favorite verses in the Bible. It's hard for us as parents. It's hard for us to keep all of our promises. There are unforeseen things that will come up. I promised somebody I would be staying with them up in Fergus Falls. I couldn't keep that promise, but Jesus Christ will always keep his promises. Listen to this, 2 Corinthians 1:20. For all the promises of God find their yes in Jesus Christ. And that is why it is through him that we utter our amen to God for his glory. No matter how many promises God has made, all of them are yes in Jesus. Jesus always keeps his promises. He is the fulfillment of every promise God has made so that we can say amen to the glory of God, and God gets the glory when he fulfills his promise. In 1 John 2:25, it says, and this is the promise that he has made to us, that Jesus has made to you and I. This is the chief of all the promises. This is the promise that he has made to us, eternal life. Eternal life. Whoa! We can't even imagine what that's like. But that's his promise to us. We can trust that promise. If we trust Jesus, we can believe that he has always been and always will be a promise keeper. He showed up even in the Old Testament. We're going to be learning all about that. It's called a Christophany. Jesus Christ showing up even in the Old Testament. Jesus has always been and always will be ready to love and forgive. He always has. He always will be ready to love and to forgive. These are the promises we can hold for ourselves. In John 15, verse 9 and 13, Jesus said to his disciples, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love." And in John 17, says everything that he promised his disciples are true for us who are now his disciples. Okay, so this is a promise for us. "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love." Are you feeling loved today? Maybe you're not. But can you imagine the love that from eternity past Jesus has experienced from God his Father, the perfect dad, the perfect relationship between Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, that perfect love that he has always experienced. Now he said, I'm giving that. I'm laying that on you. He lavishes this love upon us. So Jesus has always been and always will be ready to love and to forgive. In fact, Jesus said in John 15, 13, "Greater love has no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends." Jesus did that for us. And then in Ephesians 1, 7, it says, "In him," in Jesus, "we have redemption through his blood." That means he bought us back at a price, the price of his own blood shed. "We have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our sins, our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace." The forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. Jesus has always been and always will be ready to love. He's there with his love and forgiveness. He wants you to receive it. Jesus has always been and always will be caring for his own. In Matthew, several verses there are listed in Matthew. In Matthew 14, he saw a great crowd. He had compassion on them. He cared about them. And he healed their sick. And then in Matthew 15, it says, "Then Jesus called his disciples and said, I have compassion on the crowd. I care about these people because they have been with me now 3 days and have nothing to eat. And I'm unwilling to send them away hungry, lest they faint on the way." And we know what Jesus did. The disciples said, "Well, what are we going to do about it?" And he said, "Well, show me what you got." Fed the 5,000. Well, actually, he didn't feed 5,000. There was 5,000 men, and then there's women and children. So it was probably 10,000 or more, you know. Anyway, fed the multitude. Jesus cared about those who were following him. He cares about those who follow him now. Jesus is there to meet our needs. In Matthew chapter 9, it says, "And Jesus went throughout all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the good news of the kingdom." He cared about people enough to give them some good news. That's the word gospel, good news. "And healing every disease and every affliction. And when he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd." And then in John 10, of course, Jesus said, "I am the good shepherd." They needed a shepherd. And Jesus says, "I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. Just as my Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I, the good shepherd, lay down my life for the sheep." That's how much Jesus cares. And Jesus always has cared for us, always is caring for us, and always will care for us. In fact, right now, what does it say in John 14? It says, "In my Father's house are many rooms, many mansions, and if it were not so, I would have told you. And I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also." And so even now, he's caring for us by preparing a place for us to be with him forever in heaven so we can be with him always. So Jesus has always been and he always will be caring for his own, and you are his if you hear his voice and follow him as your good shepherd. That's the work of the Holy Spirit, that we can even hear that voice and respond by his grace. In Hebrews 7:25, it says, Jesus is able, because of what Jesus has done, Jesus is able to save to the uttermost those who draw near to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. That's another thing Jesus is always doing. He's always caring. He demonstrates that by always praying for you, bringing you before the throne of grace to you may receive mercy and find grace to help you in your time of need. So he's always there. He always lives to make intercession for us because he cares for us. So Jesus has always been and always will be in charge. Now, we may think we're in charge, right? We like to think we're in charge. We like to think we're under have things under control. But really, Jesus is the one whom God has given all authority to. Jesus is God. But this is all worked out in God's perfect plan. Listen to what it says in Colossians chapter 1, verses 17 to 18. Jesus Christ is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He is also the head of the body, the church. He's in charge, even here. It's not the elders, it's not the pastors. It's Jesus is in charge. He is the head of this church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that he himself will come to have first place in everything. To be preeminent, to reign supreme. Jesus has always been and always will be in charge. He will come as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. In Ephesians chapter 1, verses 20 to 23, it says that God worked in Christ according to his great power, when he raised him from the dead. So God, according to his great power, raised Jesus Christ from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, and above every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the age to come. He's in charge. And he put all things under his feet and gave him as head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. Jesus has always been and always will be in charge. He is the king. Philippians 2, 10 and 11 says, at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. He is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Jesus has always been and always will be. He's always been and he will be. All of these things. Jesus Christ is the same today. Jesus Christ is the same. Help me out here. Yesterday, today, and forever. Amen. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, how we need Jesus. Oh Lord, how we need him to be with us, how we need to be able to hold on to his promises, how we need to trust that promise of eternal life because he died for us, he rose for us, he lives for us, and he wants us to live forever with him. Lord God, thank you that we can always trust Jesus to love us and always trust him to forgive us. Lord, we thank you that he always cares for us. And we thank you, Lord, that he is the one who is head over every rule and authority. He's in charge. He's the king. And Lord, help us to enthrone him in our hearts, to come under his authority and under his rule and under his reign. May his kingdom come in our hearts as we put our trust in him. And Lord, if there's anyone here this morning that's never put their confident trust in Jesus Christ, Lord, even as we hear this message today, hear this gospel that Jesus Christ, according to the Scriptures, kept a promise and came to die for us, and according to the Scriptures, kept a promise and was risen from the dead for us, has ascended into heaven and is there for us and gives us eternal life through His death and resurrection. Lord, if there's anyone who's never believed that, even as we hear that message, I know Your Holy Spirit calls us to put our faith in that, to trust that. And Lord, may we cry out to You. Lord Jesus, I believe You died that death for me, for my sin. I believe that You did rise from the dead so that I can have eternal life with You. Lord, I ask You to come into my life, to be my Lord and Savior. I put my trust in what Jesus Christ has done for me, and I pray that I would live my life entirely for Him. For I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.